Now, SB gonna blaze for you. This is somebody who shouldn't need no introduction here, but I'm gonna try and do her justice, and it's not easy. Because, you know, folks you love, it's not easy, you know, to big them up the way you want. But this powerful sister, this powerful warrior woman, just been, she gonna try and edit me by hurrying up and coming on up. Right? Well, 40 years of raising hell, right? And when you, let me put it this way. Most of our Puerto Rican comrades are out. Not all of them, but most of them are out. And most of, listen, y'all, because it goes to where we need to go, and we ain't, I don't think we got this yet. Most of their official leaders, even if they ain't right on the questions, they were made to get right on that. We still got to get some right on our side, don't we? Yeah. Well, there's some examples. There's some notes that we can take. All right? And since ready to conduct class now, right, is my dear friend and comrade who I love dearly, who gets shit done. All right? Y'all give it up for Esperanza Martel.
So I would like all the sisters to stand in the room, please. All the women in the room, please stand up. All the women in the room, please stand up. I dedicate this presentation today to Comandante Ramona Zapatista, who died last week at 40, the backbone of the Zapatista Revolution, and to all the sisters in the spirit of Sofia Bucari, who take up the struggle for freedom and liberation day to day and are the ones who are making freedom happen. Right. All power to the sisters.
That's right.
So I don't stand alone. So I don't stand alone as I talk to you. I don't stand alone. I stand with a legacy of revolutionary struggle. My ancestors, the Taínos, the Arawaks that found Columbus' lost ass, okay? That found his lost ass, have resisted, they resisted the Spaniard. We merge as a people with the Africans, and we have been resisting for the last 107 years U.S. imperialism and colonialism of Puerto Rico. It's about the land. So when people say free the land,
right,
it's about the independence,
right,
of us all, of our spirits. You know, and it's not only free the land in the United States, it's free the land in the world, in the planet. When I talk about the freedom of political prisoners and prisoners of war, I'm talking about my freedom. My freedom because they took a stand. They took a stand so that I could be here today, so that I could give testimony to the genocide of my peoples. And that's why they're in prison. These folks, you know, and I constantly, when I speak out in our community, I always say the same things. You know, who are these folks who are behind the wall? They're people just like you and me. You know, they were community organizers, nurses, doctors, some lawyers. There were people who went the extra mile, who tried everything, who fed our children, who created soup kitchens, who dealt with the homeless, who dug with the drug addiction of our community. These are who they are. They are me and you, okay? And I've been blessed because I was given a torch to do this work. to fight for my freedom. And that's how I come to you to speak to today. So it's a history of resistance when we think of Puerto Rico. Most people don't know why Puerto Rico is a colony. They don't even know what Puerto Rico is. They don't even know that we're black. Okay? So that if any of you out there don't understand that, I bring you that. Okay? I bring you that information. It's not only about salsa and the great music. It's about Betance, freedom fighter, was a doctor, black, who was the one who, through his Ten Commandments, was the one that liberated the slaves in Puerto Rico. I mean, he bought baptism for black children so they could be free. So they could be free. So we always say, so what is the connection between Africans and Puerto Ricans? Well, we're one of the same people. But if you want connections, you know, I like James. I am a child of Malcolm. And Malcolm always talked about Garvey. And Garvey, in his writings, talked about what was going on in Haiti and in Cuba. And if you read Garvey and you read the teachings of Malcolm, you will hear the voice of Betances. You will hear his voice. So that's how we connect. And the other way that we connect is that in the streets of New York City, we suffer the same murderous genocide, day to day. I grew up in Manhattan. I know what the streets of this city are like. You know? I know that. Because I'm not here, I'm not supposed to be speaking to you. I ran the streets like most of my friends are dead. Okay, I'll be 60. So my generation of, when I was 17 in 1963, are dead. Drugs, alcohol, the police, jails, murder, prostitution, AIDS. I could go down the line. I could go down the line. And these brothers and sisters who are behind the wall gave us a second chance. I was with Mutulu at Lincoln Hospital. You know, I used to clean up. My aunt and my mother used to come and help. You know, so I know these people. You know, Dicia Pagan, who is out, we also ran the streets together, and we developed political consciousness together. So I have this commitment, this life commitment, and been doing this work for many years. Someone was making a joke, you know, Panama was 15 when I met him, and I'm like 6 years older than him. So keep this in mind as I share my lessons in this work, which is very challenging and very difficult. The idea of putting a person in prison is so they die. Not necessarily physically, but that happens. As you know, our folks are aging out. They're dying. But that they're dead to a community. So our primary goal is to keep them alive. To keep them alive in our community's minds, to keep them alive in our community's hearts. To get rid of the lies. They're not terrorists. They're not criminals. They're freedom fighters. And that's our job. That is our job. So how do we do that? How do we do that? I've worked on many cases, not only on Puerto Ricans, but I think I've worked on most of the political prisoners' cases in one way or another. So we asked again, how do we do that? In the case of the macheteros, so we hear about Filiberto Ojeda Rios, and we hear about the assassination by the United States government of this freedom fighter, and we ask why. We ask why. We know he was a freedom fighter. Some of you might know that Los Macheteros was an underground organization. So Filiberto was part of the Puerto Rican underground that is alive and well today, I must say.
That's right.
Okay?
That's right.
What's important about Filiberto is that he's part of resistance movement in Puerto Rico. So there's always been a Puerto Rican underground. The movement for emancipation of the slaves and independence of Puerto Rico with Betances was an underground movement. It was an underground movement. Filiberto was part of the Cuban Revolution in 59. He has been part of an underground movement since he was very young. Remember, he murdered at 71. I hate to say die, you know. Murdered at 71, so he'd been active. So there's this underground movement that Filiberto had been part of. The different organizations, different names, we have this one called Los Macheteros. So in 1985, the year right after the New York Eight were busted here in Brooklyn, okay, and it was like a trial run because everything they did here in Brooklyn, they did in Puerto Rico. We had 16 macheteros arrested. So how do you create a campaign? A campaign of folks who are in the island. Well, they were arrested all over the United States and in Mexico, but most of them came from the island because Puerto Rico is a colony and we don't have any legal federal court in Puerto Rico. They got tried in Connecticut. We created a national committee for their support. And I say support, not defense. There's two different things. There's a defense that deals with all the legal aspects of the court. Sometimes family members are part of the defense, sometimes not. Family members sometimes create family and friends of a given political prisoner. So we did support. Support means all the political education, all the national, local outreach, dealing with the press, making sure that we got lawyers. I mean, we had key lawyers all over the United States. Kunstler was one of the lawyers. And we also outreached to law schools. There was unbelievable amount of work, groundwork that needed to be done, and we had to fill those courts. 25 family members, December of 1985, we needed to find home, places for people to stay. Most of them had never been to the United States before. Okay, we talk about Katarina and how this country mobilized or didn't mobilize, but that's real. How do you create a movement to support a community? So I want to give you this as a scenario so that you understand that it's not an easy task, that it takes work, it takes commitment, it takes dedication, and it takes groundworks in the streets. Lawyers don't free political prisoners. They don't deal with law. The people in the streets and in the courtroom actively dealing with your legislators. People say, oh, how can you deal with legislators? They're pigs. Yeah, they're pigs, but you could push them, especially if you got their constituency. And we organized constituency. We created a plan and we implemented it and really organized constituency. And we're all over every Puerto Rican that we knew. We held them accountable for the prisoners being in prison. Held them accountable. There's a solidarity movement in the United States. There is a left movement. They did this much. This much. Okay? It was the Puerto Rican people and their few allies that freed these prisoners. And how did we do it? Listen, I had never marched in a Puerto Rican Day parade. I could tell you where there's a Puerto Rican parade in every city of this country. Because that's what we did. We took it to the street. We tabled. We petitioned. We taught. One of the things is to create a movement is you got to go to the high schools. You got to go to the junior high schools. These young people, you were educated, and in 4 to 6 years, even if they drop out, they will know that they're political prisoners in this country. And when they hear something on TV, because we also mobilized the press, any press that would listen, we would give them information. So that when Clinton, I say Carter because that was the first release in 1979 of five nationalists. But when Clinton in August of 99 said that he was going to release them, what the press had in their hand was our booklets, was our information. So what you were reading was what we had put out. They didn't have any other sources. The press doesn't do research, okay? So that it's about working every angle. It's very time, it takes time. It takes work. I actually work and I have a job, so I don't want you to think that this is the only thing that I do. But collectively and through a collective work and taking responsibility, it could be done. We could free these political prisoners, but we must create a plan. There is no way to do this if we do not sit down and create a plan. For the release of the 11 prisoners, the plan was created in 1992. And it was given out to the Puerto Rican community to implement. We all implemented it differently. Some people didn't want to go do legislative work. Other people didn't want to do demonstration. People didn't want to go speak. So people did whatever they wanted to do. So the compañeros from the cultural group, this is how they have implemented a plan that exists up here for the release of political prisoners. So the question is, we need to create a plan, and then we have to say, how am I going to implement that plan? What am I going to do? Whether you're a family member, whether you're a friend, where you're just a political conscious person, how are you going to do it? How are the children, the young people in this room, going to free the political prisoners? This is the question that each one of us has to raise. I had a person that used to do little drawings and give them out in the train. Okay, other people did their own stickers. We've had a couple salsa for freedom. People danced for freedom. So we need to get very, very creative in the work that we do to free a political prisoner. And I'm of the belief we need to create a grassroots movement. Yes, we take this work, as Malcolm said, to the United Nations on an international level, but without a movement to back that work, that is not going anywhere. That is not going anywhere. So that we need to focus on how we are going to create a grassroots movement so that next year at this time, there's such a line out there, right, that the speakers have to speak against the wall. We got to fill up these spaces. And it's on us, each one of them. And the support for the family is very, very important. For the support of the prisoners inside, I don't know if all of you got an opportunity to write a card, to sign a card that was being passed around. But that's what keeps the prisoners alive. Their mail keeps them alive, especially when they put them in the hole, okay? I do support work for Mumia Abul-Jamal, and I also do support work for Leonard Pertet, Native American political prisoner. I fast once a year. It's a national fast for Leonard. And this is how we keep his campaign alive, okay? And we can't just be narrow and say, I'm only going to work on this campaign and only on that campaign. I am one of the active supporters of the friends and family of Matulu Shakur. We need to branch out and not be so narrow. If they're not black political prisoners, we're not going to work on them. If they're not Puerto Rican, or if they're not this, or if they're not that. We need to understand that the struggle is one. The struggle is one, and we need to get involved in all aspects of that struggle. Filiberto Ojeda gets murdered. Warrants for 124 people get put out, okay? So one of the things that we're waiting for in the Puerto Rican movement is arrests, pending arrests. We do not know how many people or who it's going to be arrested. So we need to put together a plan for the pending arrests. We cannot continue to react to the oppressor. We need to be organized. Okay, we need now to get the lawyers to begin to raise the money. So we need to be like 100 steps ahead of the oppressor. Because you know what? They are 100 steps ahead of us. As you know, their agents are in the room, okay? And I always tell them, arrest me. Se van a joder. They're going to get fucked. Okay? Because my work is on a mass level in a community. And people have respect for the work that I do. Each one of us, Richie Perez, who was one of the leaders of the Young Lords Party, who passed going on 2 years now, one of the things he said, each revolutionary needs to create a mass organization, a community-based grassroots organization. You need to create everyone. It's not about being in this party, that's good and well, or being in this, everybody knows this organization. It's about working the masses, working the community, and doing it actively. That's right. I want to read two things here. One is for Leonard, and it's just a quote. It says, it is time we all unite to stop the madness threatening the whole planet. Stand together with those who go beyond words and deliver on the promise of freedom and justice, and against those guided by greed, arrogance, and prejudice. Stay true, work in unity, confront the traitors, don't be afraid, and don't let our struggle die. Which is what James said, the greatest fear of our prisoners is that the struggle will die. Mumia says, lore isn't something that simply exists up in the air like the moon. Lore is an instrument of the ruling class, and it can only be impacted by social forces which struggle to change or transform social relations. What that means, in a nutshell, is relatively simple. Organize, organize, organize. All power to the people. Libertad para Puerto Rico. Free Puerto Rico right now.